My brothers and sisters, as have become our practice, let's pray. Father, you who are Lord of Lords and King of Kings, we praise you. We worship and honor your name, Father, while giving thanks to you for bringing us into your presence. Father, there is joy and peace in your presence, and we give all glory and honor to you and you alone, that this is where you would have us to be. We pray in agreement with you, Father, as well as with one another, making petitions and requests to you with thanksgiving that you will bless your sons and daughters who listen to the messages through the podcast that I believe you've given me. Father, may they be blessed and prosper in all they do according to your word and will. I pray and petition you, Father, that they and their families will walk in divine health and that their days upon the earth will be long and fruitful. We are continually in prayer and agreement for Mandy Williams, Erica, as well as my great niece, along with the young woman whom I love like a granddaughter. Let all who are in need of healing, whether physically, mentally, in marriages, family matters, or whatever the need may be, may each and every one know you as Jehovah Rapha. We pray and agree with the families of a brother who resides in Trinidad. Father, we thank you that he will not only know your healing powers, but that his family will receive the strength, peace, and all else that's necessary as they continue to stand by him during this time in his life. We pray for those who are under physical, mental, as well as emotional and spiritual attacks, whether they are psychotic breaks, mental breakdowns, demonic attacks, or other types of psychosis. May they all experience your healing touch and deliverance, because there is no limit to what you can do. Father, you know the gentleman who I pray for every day without exception. I don't need to tell you that I love him like a son, and I pray the prayer of Jabez over him in agreement with you on his behalf. I pray that he will always be free from pain. Bless him, Father, his wife and family, and may you enlarge his territories in great and mighty ways. We ask again, Father, that each and every one of your sons and daughters would walk in divine health. Father, we thank you that you continue to allow us to see your faithfulness on behalf of those for whom you have moved so mightily, for those who have seen and experienced you as the Lord, our God who heals. Father, we ask as we listen to this podcast that we will hear your voice clearly and concisely, and we ask that all we put our hands to be blessed according to your word and will. We thank you, Holy Ghost, as you use these words to minister to the hearts and spirits of your sons and daughters. We pray and make all of these petitions to you, Father, asking that all of our families will walk in covenant with you all the days of their lives. May our covenant blessings with you be generational to the thousandth generation, Jesus, should you tarry. We ask these things, petitioning you, Father, with thanksgiving in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello to each of you. I'm Prophet Beatrice Valerie Nero, and I welcome you to another episode of This is the Voice of the Prophet. This week, I'll be sharing with you part two of the message entitled Strength is Power. Last week, God spoke to us saying that we must not allow the enemy to use his spirits of fear against us. He reminded us that one of the tactics that Satan uses are words of lies and intimidations. Just as Ben-Hadad bragged to Ahab as to how he would defeat Samaria, Satan also tries to convince us of our downfalls. As Ben-Hadad tried with Ahab, Satan wants us to lose hope and give up even before the battle starts. However, losing hope ensures our surrender. It means that we have given up and given in to the demands and devices of the enemy. But Ahab responded to Ben-Hadad saying, "One who puts on his armor should not boast like one who takes it off." What God is saying to us is that the end of a battle cannot be determined by what the enemy says even before the battle starts. We will not allow the voice of the enemy to be more of an influence than that of the Holy Ghost when he speaks to us. We must stop listening with our flesh, our hearts, and even our own thinking. We cannot continue to allow spirits of fear to defeat us without even putting up a fight. We must learn to hear God's voice and hear him with our spirits. One reason that so many of God's sons and daughters don't hear him is because they try to listen for his voice with their natural ears as opposed to listening in their spirits. Many years ago, when I would use the phrase, "I heard God say," or "I'm hearing God say," someone approached me and asked me if I was hearing voices. Because I was still in the beginning stages of learning how to hear our Father's voice, I couldn't quite explain exactly how I was hearing him, but I knew it wasn't voices that I was hearing, and neither was it in my mind or heart. Too many will attempt to hear God in their flesh, their minds, and emotions. They want to listen to what they believe they're hearing in their hearts, which prevents one from hearing our Father when he's really speaking to their spirits. Remember, God is a spirit, and therefore, that's where he speaks to us, to and in our spirits by his Holy Spirit. Another way of recognizing and hearing God's voice is in knowing that even in corrections or rebukes, God speaks to us with love, strength, encouragement, and hope, and not lies and fear. Whereas the enemy speaks his demonic fear to our minds, hearts, and flesh with the lies that he sends forth. Another way of hearing God's voice is that when he speaks to us, it will always, always line up with his word. He will never say anything to us that's not according to his word and his perfect will. And no matter how anointed, holy, and sanctified one might be, when an individual walks in the body of Christ, they need to hear the voice of our Father because this is where and how he leads and guides us. It's also how he will give us the strength and power that we need. However, if we're not hearing his voice and knowing what he is speaking to us, we'll miss it and end up feeling weak and powerless. God knows that we need strength, and he wants to give it to us. However, we must remember that David found his strength in the Lord his God. God wants us to have his strength. He has promised to give us strength, but we will not get that strength if we are not in the Lord, not one with him. David had to be in the Lord in order to get strength from the Lord. In other words, he had to have a strong relationship with the Father in order to receive what he needed from the Father. When we pray the Our Father prayer saying, "Give us this day our daily bread," we should understand that bread is the spiritual food that nourishes and sustains us, and we need it every day, just as our natural bodies need food to sustain it. Our daily bread from the Father is what gives us strength we need, and we need this strength each and every day. If we are not in the Lord on a daily basis, then we're not getting the sustenance, the spiritual nourishment, or strength that we need. In the book of Luke chapter 22, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the 43rd verse, it reads that an angel from heaven appeared to Jesus, strengthening him. Jesus was praying when the angel appeared to him. Strength comes through prayer and intimacy with God. If Jesus wasn't given strength until he was in prayer with the Father, why should we think it will be any different for us? If you need strength, then you need to pray. What makes us feel so doubtful, afraid, or ashamed to call out to our Father for strength? What makes one think that God won't give us the strength we need if we pray? According to Judges 6, 1 through 6, in the New International Version, it reads, "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain cliffs, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help." To say that the Israelites cried out to God for help means that they prayed. We can cry out to God for help in our times of need, whether that need is for finances, peace, healing, or strength. Go ahead and cry out to him for whatever it is that you're in need of. Once again, the Israelites were facing an enemy, and once again, it was because of their sin. God had given them into the hands of the enemy for 7 long years. And also, once again, as it reads in the 10th verse of that chapter, a prophet was sent by God to speak to them. According to many versions, the prophet said, "And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." God was angry at Israel and turned them over to the hands of their enemies, not because they served the gods of the land that they were in, but because they feared them. The evil that Israel had done in the sight of God that made him so angry that he allowed the enemy to bring them into such humiliating poverty was not worshiping other gods. That anger was aroused because they feared other gods. Israel had disobeyed by fearing the gods of the Amorites. For 7 years, they were under a chastisement and lived in poverty. The Israelites were so poor until they were living in caves and mountain clefts. And it was all because they feared something or someone other than or more than the true and living God. That's a Selah moment. That's something to pause and think about. The question today is, who or what do you fear more than God? Immediately, we would all say without hesitation, nothing and no one. It's like the little kid who's actually trying to boast to himself and look strong before his peers when he says, "I ain't scared of nothing." But yet he knows without a doubt that he's totally scared of the dark. We've all heard of women who are being abused, but they stay with their abuser, not because they love them, but because they're afraid of them. And then we wonder why. It's the demonic hold of fear that they have on them. Are we afraid of losing our jobs? What about the fear of sickness and disease? Are we afraid about children getting hooked on drugs, or perhaps we're scared of being robbed or shot by a drug addict? Listen, there are many things that we should have a legitimate concern in regards to. But rather than being afraid, we should use wisdom. We should definitely take care of our bodies. Teach and bring up our children according to the word. Teach them the fact about drugs. And I would even recommend the book for kids to read, From Crack to the Cross by Pastor Reginald Watts. It's the true story of a man who was brought up not in poverty and drug neighborhoods, but a man who came from a very well-to-do family, but just decided one time at a college frat party to give it a try. That one try led to trying it again and again, and then the addiction. That addiction led him to a life of crime and almost death, and he wound up with a lifetime prison sentence in Angola prison. Yes, there are certain areas that should be avoided when possible because they're dangerous. But above all, trust in and fear only God. Perhaps wisdom would dictate that we should carry a weapon if we're in a place or occupations that would demand such. Remember, in Luke 22:36, it reads, he said to them, but now if you don't have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. We should all use wisdom because it's necessary, but not because we're afraid. There is nothing and no one we should fear more than the Lord our God, while remembering that the fear we have of him is one of reverence and honor and not demonic. When we allow fear to rule, dictate, and intimidate us, then we've allowed fear to become the God that rules and dictates our lives. Also, let's remember that it's those whom God loves whom he chastises. Does it mean that everything that occurs in our lives, every negative thing that occurs in our lives, is a chastisement from God? Of course not. Remember the blind man in John 9? The disciples asked Jesus who had sinned, him or his parents, because he was born blind. But Jesus said, neither, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed. Every negative thing that occurs in our lives is not because of sin. But yet, Israel had sinned, and their sin was being afraid of a God or gods other than the true and living God. Satan is looking for a reason to accuse us of our sin. That's what and who he is, the accuser of the brethren. According to Revelation 13:10, it reads, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. Day and night, Satan is before God bringing accusations against us. But the 11th verse of that same chapter reads, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. Sometimes, not always, but there are times that we will find ourselves in situations, in chastisements, and even as Israel, impoverished because of our sins. However, we can repent to the Father for the wrongs we've done, for the sins we've committed, and he will hear us. And as I always say, when he hears, he answers. The blood of Jesus covers and cleanses us from our sins, but that's only when we've repented. Let there be nothing that the enemy can use against you here on earth are in heaven before the throne of God. Let him never be able to accuse you of not only sin as we count sin, but also of doubt, unbelief, and fear. When we fear, we allow something or someone other than God to rule and reign in our lives. In some instances, it's not only okay, but it's wise to be concerned and even cautious about certain things and people. But it's never okay to be afraid unless it's a reverential and honorable fear of God. But what if God is saying no to what I want or need? Shouldn't I be afraid then? What if God is telling me that I'm under a chastisement? even then, you don't have to be afraid, because God, in his perfection and glory and love for us, will only do what's right, best, and perfect. If he says no, if he says chastisement, just trust him, because he always knows what's best. Again, it reads that the Israelites cried out to God. After the prophet has spoken to them, it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. In the 14th verse, in the contemporary English version, it reads, "Then the Lord himself said, Gideon, you will be strong, because I am giving you the power to rescue Israel from the Midianites." In another version, it reads, "The Lord turned to him and said, go forward in this strength that is now yours, and you will deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" But I love the way it's written in the Living Bible. It says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, I will make you strong. Go and save Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." Those of you that know me know that I love working out at the gym. I'm getting this weight back down and building my body up the way I believe God intends for it to be. And yet I know the strength that I'm regaining is nothing in comparison to the strength that God gives us when we need it. I see men working out at the gym. I remember going to my grandson's powerlifting meets, lifting 450 pounds, deadlifting weights that I could not even begin to imagine lifting. But all of those weights are nothing in comparison to the strength that God gives us when we need it. The Lord said to Gideon, "I will make you strong." It's not just the physical strength that he gives us, but spiritual, mental, emotional, and yes, even like Samson, physical as well, if and when we need it. But just like many Christians and followers of Christ today, Gideon had doubt. He had been in his impoverished state for so long until he believed, like many, that there would never be a way out. He felt that it would be that way forever. There are far too many who think that their lives are the way it's supposed to be and that it will always be that way. They don't look for or expect change. Let me say something to you right now. Don't believe that that son or daughter or mate will always be on drugs. Don't believe that that diagnosis is the final say. Don't accept and take for granted that you'll always be poor, destitute, and up against it. Don't believe that your marriage can't be healed. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy when he tells you that you'll never finish school and get that degree. Don't you dare listen to his lies concerning any of the good things in life that God has in store for you. Don't let him defeat you before the battle even starts. If you trust God, fear only God, live according to his word, and stay in him, he will give you the strength you need to overcome all the powers of the enemy. The Lord God himself is saying to you what he said to Gideon. You will be strong because I am giving you the power. There is no power stronger or greater than the power that God gives us now. In the Common English Version of the Bible, the 16th verse reads, "The Lord replied, because I'm with you, you'll defeat the Midianites as if they were just one person." Because I'm with you. Who could ask or desire more than that? The Lord said to Gideon then what he says to us now.
He is with us. In Deuteronomy, when Moses spoke to Israel in the 31st chapter, he said to them in the 6th verse, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And then he repeated those words in the 8th verse, saying, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." The Lord our God is with us. He is giving you the strength and power to defeat your enemy. So do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, because God, our Father, will never leave us nor forsake us. He goes with you. He goes with us to defeat the enemy that is trying to take your strength. Go, my sisters and brothers. Go in the strength that God has given you. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of This is the Voice of the Prophet. I ask that each of you would share this podcast with others, and always remember that it's available for listening on every podcast server and app. I continue to ask you for your support through your prayers. You can contact me through my email at amiteagle@charter.net. That's amiteagle@charter.net. And through the Facebook post or Facebook Messenger. Thank you again for your prayers and support, and may God bless each and every one of you.